So we're going to have our gospel reading first. This is a very traditional gospel for Epiphany Sunday because it's John's gospel, the one that begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And then it goes on. "He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of human beings, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John, the baptizer, testified to him and cried out, 'This is the one of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And that is the heart of Epiphany, when we ourselves come to realize that that light is our light as well.
Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south, to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb, silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about somebody else?" Then Philip began to speak. And starting with his scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord had snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. As I begin, I always like to pray that God would give us light and his spirit. I've also been asked on behalf and in concert with some of the faith leaders from around Rockford area to make a statement like this. It's in light of what's happened, especially in these days, how our nation is interacting with nations of the world, and especially what's going on with our neighbors to the south in Venezuela, reminding us that Jesus only had one real direct things did he say. He said, render to God what is due to God and to Caesar what is due to Caesar. And so I submit that what we as Christians can do is ask our government to be accountable to the rule of law, to speaking the truth, and to facing the consequences for its actions. Lord, be with us as we sit this morning. Your eternal word tells us that you've given to humankind the capacity to build institutions which uphold our well-being, including the institutions of marriage and of government. Pray that you'd give us wisdom, encouragement as citizens of this earthly nation to live first according to the dictates of your royal law, to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. And I pray that you'd help us now to sit in reflection upon these words that we have heard for this Epiphany Sunday, remembering those who traveled following the star to kneel at the feet of Jesus. Amen. More light. More light. History records these were the words of the German author Goethe as he lay dying. His meaning, it was not exactly clear. He may have been asking for someone to open the shutters so that they could be opened so that he could see more clearly what was going to be his last vision on earth. Or it may have had to do with the Enlightenment values which were so much a part of his legacy, more light. The Enlightenment brought light, as it were, to the rights of individuals, to the power of reason, and to the role of science and empiricism in life. In the 18th and 19th centuries, revolutions in this country and in Europe were toppling the old order in favor of a new democracy. John Locke, Rousseau, and Thomas Paine, these were thinkers, philosophers, who championed something called humanism, which sought to raise rational thought, our thinking process, as the key to solving our problems. And science, which had been born out centuries earlier from theologians seeking to better understand the world that God had given us, provided a method, science did, towards a new ideal of progress. These were all part of what is known as the Enlightenment. And you may wonder why I'm talking about the Enlightenment on a Sunday when, because we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper and because the Packers and Vikings play at noon, I shouldn't be going more than 10 minutes anyway. You may also wonder why, as we've seen through Scripture, we're heading back into the book of Acts when we've spent months getting just past Pentecost. So I'm going to take just a few minutes telling you why each of those things. Why the Enlightenment and why Acts? So first and foremost, we as people of faith submit the most important enlightenment we need to achieve is to be enlightened by recognizing Jesus of Nazareth, who by virtue of his resurrection from death was authorized and signified and deified as our Christ, our Savior, the only begotten offspring of God. Offspring. The scripture said only begotten son. I say offspring because, although that's not a typical way to refer to Jesus, I don't want to diminish Jesus' identity, but I want to remind us that what saves us is not his maleness, but his divine origin and mission. And from that scripture that we read of John's, and you may still have it in front of you on a piece of paper that was in your bulletin, I hope, maybe. If it was there, John prosaically set down what the Holy Spirit had inspired, that the Logos, who was before all time and by whom all things were created, came into the world. And John doesn't name that Logos in this portion. He doesn't name it Jesus. It says the Word of God, the Logos, It's the same root that we get the word logic from. And logic was part of one of those Enlightenment ideals. Jesus said it, and we remembered it as we lit candles on Christmas Eve. He said, "I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but will be enlightened. We'll have the light of life." The Logos, the Word, the creative force of God, who Genesis tells us spoke, and all things came into being in the beginning. That cosmic millisecond, the scientists will tell us, before all the matter in the universe, which was so compressed that you couldn't even barely see it, expanded with such force that it's still expanding. That light was the light that shaped the Torah, the path that God set before God's people, including the commandment that we call the Lex Talionis, an eye for an eye. Remember that? Which actually was a limitation on how much damage you could cause to a person. It was an advance in progress that you couldn't go beyond what someone had done to you. And then on, the light continued to spread on to the Mount of Beatitudes. Jesus taught the way of the kingdom. He said, "Do unto others, forgive as you wish to be forgiven. Seek first the things that are above. The kingdom of God is among you, within you. It's so near we can almost touch it." And while humanism gave us many gifts, it also tempted us to believe that the light comes from us rather than to us. So here at the beginning of another year, the light that will get us through whatever lies ahead in this year is still the light from above, is still the light of Christ. Now, the second point. Have you ever had an inkling that God wants you to do something? An urge to call someone that you've been missing? A nudge to give a compliment to the person to whom you're standing next in line, or an urge to embrace a child, your own child or grandchild, who's just said something profound like, "I love you, Connie, where are you? Connie Hollenbeck, you just told me that story this morning." So you may remember Philip, who we read about. He was one of those chosen by the apostles to bring order out of the chaos of those Pentecost days when people, vulnerable widows, were being denied a part in the community because they were outsiders. They spoke a different language, probably embodied a distinctive look. So Philip was nudged away from Jerusalem to go south to Gaza. And yes, this is the same Gaza where thousands of the people of Palestine have been killed over the last 2 years. In the last years of the 20th century, we were almost hypnotized into adding the word terrorist to every mention of the word Palestinian. Non-Jewish ethnic Arab people that lived in that country since Abraham and Sarah came out of Haran. And if you go back a little further, they're all cousins. This is holy ground between Jerusalem and Gaza, and so we speak of it with humility. So Philip went down this road, and he encountered a man who was not like him. He was darker in complexion. Unlike Philip, who was afoot, he was riding in a chariot. He had status. He was an important figure in his country, Ethiopia. And he had been physically altered in a way to make him, intended to make him safe, but which made him, according to Jewish law, unclean. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship. And having done so, he was returning home south, and he was doing something that still has the power to bring more light to our eyes. He was reading God's word. This is why we're back in the book of Acts. We need to see, to mark out the progress of the gospel through a world that did not know it, because we live in that world as well. More than anything, we need to have our eyes open, not to just to what's happening around us, but to what is not happening around us. Acts, from its beginning to the end, shows us what happens when ordinary believers follow extraordinary nudges. And what the Ethiopian comes to see, thanks to Philip, was that Jesus, who had been executed on a cross, was the light of the world. He asked to become not just a God-fearer, which he had been as a proselyte, but a follower of Jesus, to be baptized, to walk over that mat. And it was done. He was baptized then and there. The light that we've been given is for us, yes. But it's also for all those on the road who don't yet see it. You may not have been chosen as a deacon yet, but you are an ambassador for Christ. Epiphany is not just a story of a star long ago, but it's the season when God still opens our eyes. So I want to encourage you to do things. So you have homework. John, you like homework, right? First, I want to encourage you to put scripture, especially what we're exploring together in the book of Acts, into your daily devotion somewhere. However you do it, whether it's morning, night, afternoon, lunch break, open the word for a bit. Read a verse. And let it speak to you. Let it bring light to your life. And then second, I want to encourage you to sit considering what is happening around you that you would rather not see, and what is happening that you long to see. Make two lists. Pray over them. And listen for the Spirit's nudges. Epiphany is the season of opened eyes. May God open ours as the year unfolds, a day at a time. May God be with us as the year unfolds. In Jesus' name, amen.